They do say that all of us have at least one book in us. Now, would you like to write a novel? Do you have a story to tell? And how easy is it to accomplish this and organise an audio version as a blind or partially sighted author? David Lindsley has done just this. He's registered blind and he's published his novel Farpoint, and he has also recorded an audio version of this. And he joins us now to tell us more. Hi, David.
Hello, now, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. And the book is called Farpoint. Now, would you say it's a thriller?
Yes. It's a slightly different thriller than no policeman dashing around or private detectives. It's based on a forensic engineer who's retired and become a bit of a recluse, and he's dug out by a paralegal who wants to use his specialist knowledge to help solve a mystery.
Do you know, I love those kind of stories. I really love the whole way that forensic science has come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I've been working in the Far East for a while. I've worked everywhere, Simon. And I've been working in Hong Kong, and we were hit by a tropical storm, which is just short of a typhoon. And when that happens, you stay where you are. You don't move. So I happened to be in the hotel. If I'd been unlucky enough to be at work, I would have had to stay at work till the storm blew over. And in the hotel, the options were down to the bar, which was probably fairly dangerous, in the terms that there had lots of booze on offer, or up to my room and get the laptop out. And I'd always wanted to write a book, and I thought, well, here's a chance. I'm pinned down here, nothing to do, I might as well write.
How do you start a book? I'd love to write a book, but I've always thought, I just don't even know how to start. I suppose you have to have an idea of what you want to accomplish with it.
Yes, I think it helps. Obviously, different people have different approaches to these things. I had always wanted to write. I'd never written any fiction, apart from the odd management report to my board of directors, but that's something else. And I had the germs of an idea because various things had happened which I felt could be fictionalized, turn into a book.
Based on your own experiences, then?
Based on my own experiences, yes.
So when you started the book then, did you think about a book deal or did you just write the book first of all?
Well, I was in Hong Kong, and when I came back, I didn't know what to do with the thing, so I looked up in Writers and Artists Yearbook and found an agent and sent it to her. And to my surprise, she rang me straight back, asked me if I'd sent it to any other agents. I said no, which I hadn't. And she said, well, on that basis, it needs work. I'll help you with it, but you must undertake not to send it to any other agents. And over the next year, she put a lot of work into it.
It must make you feel really excited when somebody snaps onto it like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was really exciting. And since it was my first attempt, I felt very pleased with myself. What happened then was we have to go back in time. In those days, agents and publishers wouldn't accept books in electronic form. The whole world had gone electronic, but not those guys. So you know, I had to do it and print it out and send it to the post through the post. And I found that very strange because all the rest of my work was done online and electronically. And so parcel these things up and took them down to the post office, posted them. She marked them up, sent them back to me with various suggestions, and so it went backwards and forwards.
And how long did it actually take then to get the finished work?
About a year.
That's not bad, isn't it?
No, I didn't think it was bad. Writing it had taken perhaps 3 or 4 months, so the year, in comparison, that seemed very long.
And what's it like when somebody's actually asking you to change things in your book? Were you quite okay with that?
I was very okay. I mean, she was a professional. She knew what she was doing. I must say, I eventually annoyed her. What I'll say is that she sent it back to me and then said, right, it's ready, we can send it off to publishers. And after the first two rejection slips, I was thoroughly disappointed. You know, no publisher wanted to take it because it was different from your usual sort of thriller. I don't think I'm a bad writer, but it was out of the normal genre. So I got depressed and she said, no, don't give up. I said, well, I've been reading about self-publishing. And she immediately said, well, if you go down that route, I can't help you anymore. So the thing with self-publishing is you can do it and nobody sends it back to you with a rejection slip. As far as I can see, a lot of self-published stuff is pretty ropey. You know, I think mine was a bit above that, but then I'm prejudiced. So she got annoyed. Well, not really annoyed, but she said, well, I can't help you. And that was the end of it. Now I've kept in touch with her over the years.
So did you go down the self-publishing route then?
Yes, I did. Farpoint was self-published. The next book in the trilogy, which was called The Dark Falls Switch, was actually picked up by a bricks and mortar publisher, as they call them. And he printed it. And that sold. And that was the one that actually outranked John Grisham for a week. It was amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So without getting into too much detail, the self-publishing route, because I've heard you can do that through Amazon.
Yes,
and
you
things
can.
Like that. But you have to watch about your rights and royalties as well, don't you, with that?
Yes, you do. But there's lots of professional help available for that. You can write the book, send it to the publisher, in this case it's one of the Amazon companies, but there are others. And it comes back, you send it as a word process document. And they don't really care if you send them a load of rubbish. And you could write it in, you know, very poor English, very poor punctuation. They'll still print it, and it's up to you then whether you want to put it on sale.
So is there a cost involved to that?
No, none at all.
Right, and is it just an electronic form of the book then?
Yeah, you send the book as a Word document, and they send it back to you. It's laid out now as a book, so you've got odd and even page numbers, and you've got chapter headings all starting on a new page and all that stuff.
Right, so that brings us also now to the audiobook, because again, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
It is very different. About 10 years ago, I got the first indications that I was losing my sight, and I've been having to cope with that ever since. I'm a fairly upbeat person, so I was able to say, well, look, let's turn this to my advantage. Can I actually do something with this? And I'd started listening to audiobooks. In fact, my wife and I sit over lunch listening to audiobooks. And it's great. You know, when you turn in, you listen to it, it's like listening to a book at bedtime in the good old days. And so it's just a matter of, the book was first published, Farpoint, this is, was first published as a Kindle book. And then it's very easy. You send it to Audible, that's another Amazon company. And they ask you to produce a synopsis of the book, an indication of the kind of voice. Do you want a man reading it, a woman? Should they have a foreign accent? And so on. And then they send it out to potential actors who will become narrators. And I had, I think it was 9 narrators respond. And my wife, Jo, and I sat down and listened to these, and we chose one whose voice seemed just right to us. He's a guy called Julian Casey, living in Quebec, Irish-American actor, and obviously they're using this to bring in a bit of extra income.
So what about quality control then on the audiobook?
That is done by Audible. The narrator sends each chapter, and they want them chapter by chapter. The narrator sends each chapter to Audible, who QA it, quality assure it, and make comments. In his case, he's a professional, and he'd done it before, so there are very few comments. And then they say, yes, okay, go on to the next chapter. So we did the next chapter and so on. And there's 16 chapters in the book, so there were 16 audio files. He sends them to me to listen to. I send them back to him. He sends them to Audible. They QA it, and then if there are any problems, they are sorted out by the narrator. I don't know if I said the narrator's name was Julian Casey.
That's a great name as well.
Oh, yeah, well, he's acted in various things, including a film called Arrival, which is a science fiction thing, and that was the problem. A lot of his filming work got in the way. So whereas he'd originally said he hoped to have the book finished last June, it finally appeared in January this year.
That's right, because Arrival's a fairly recent movie, isn't it?
Yes, it is a recent movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So is there a cost to you involved in this at all, then, this process?
I paid him. They tell you the price range, and I said to him, would he do it? I think it was for $60 an hour. Now, the book is 10 hours long, very roughly, so the total cost was $600, which really is not very much. And how he does it, I hope he's not listening to this because he might put his prices up. How he does it for that price, I don't know. All it did was it cost me $600.
It sounds like a relatively painless experience.
It's painless, but it's time-consuming. Listening to the various chapters, some of the audition recordings were hilarious, although we'd asked for somebody with perhaps an Irish-American accent, which is just him. We got one guy from California who reads a lot of stuff for video games, and he was all gung-ho and shouty and totally wrong for what we wanted. Joe and I chose Julian between us. We sat down, listened to him, and said, that's the guy.
And what kind of feedback have you had then from A, the book, and the audiobook as well?
I'm getting good feedback. I haven't had any bad feedback at all. I'm not selling big numbers because I haven't actively marketed it, and that's so important. You must market these things. And that's the thing which, when you go the self-publishing route, you have to do yourself.
And what happens? Do you get a percentage of the royalties?
Or? Yes, I do. The royalties come in. I can't remember immediately off the top of my head what the royalties are, but I'm very happy with that. Luckily, I don't live on it. If I did, I'd be starving. But it's satisfactory, let's put it that way.
So the book's called Farpoint. How can we get to listen to it then?
Well, if you go to Amazon, iTunes, or Audible websites, search for the book Farpoint and then my name, it'll pop up, and you'll get the Kindle version as well as the audio version. If you click on the icon showing the audio version, a picture of the front cover comes up, and if you click on that, it plays you a sample of Julian's reading. And then if you want to buy it, there's a buy option. And obviously, the first thing is they try and get you to sign up as a subscription. So if you, the buyer, like the book, at the end of 30 days, you can, if you like, cancel the subscription. It doesn't cost you any more. You've got the book to keep, and you're not charged for that. But obviously, they're hoping you will stay on. And I think the majority of people, once they hear the book, do stay on.
So have you got any plans to do any more?
Well, depending on how this one goes, the second book in the trilogy was called The Darkfall Switch, which was about how a hacker gets into... This is written before hackers were obligatory. A hacker gets into the power systems of London and blacks out London. Now, what happens is fairly accurate because I did a lot of work with the various authorities on the effect of blackouts on London. And the underground was, at that time, very vulnerable. So the book is based on a hacker accidentally hacking into the power system that feeds the underground and the whole London and bringing it all to a standstill. And all the technical details are actually very, very close to reality. So Darkfalls, which was based on a hacker bringing chaos to London and how they track him down, and he is an innocent, he's just fiddling around. He hasn't realized that he'd triggered off something that had been built in by a foreign power. I won't say who the foreign power is. That was a surprise in the book. And this foreign power had introduced this on the basis that if a war broke out, they could quickly black out an entire country.
You know, there's going to be a movie, don't you?
It would be nice. But the third book in the trilogy was based in India. Now, I was actually born in India, and I've worked in India a lot, so I was able to build in a lot of detail about India and the way the people there work and live and think. And so that would complete the trilogy.
Your name is spelled David Lindsley, and it's Lindsley.
That's right.
And the book we've been talking about is Farpoint, and that's available as an audiobook. David, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and I'd love you to get back in touch as things develop and see what's on the go next time.
Great, Simon. I'd love to do that.
David Lindsley, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Simon.